Welcome to the new Mad Money Machine, the Bitcoin Show. I'm Paul Boyer. This is episode one, and it's all about Bitcoin for people who've never heard about Bitcoin before. On this episode, I'm going to talk about the most exciting things about Bitcoin and get you convinced that you need to get interested. I've been talking to friends and family recently, asking them, have you ever heard about Bitcoin? Most of them say no. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that haven't heard about Bitcoin yet. If you're one of them, this show is for you. On this episode, I'm going to talk about the 12 most exciting things about Bitcoin. I'm going to talk about frequently asked questions about Bitcoin, and then a quick start guide. All here on episode one. Well, I wonder if you've never even heard of Bitcoin at all, then what, you know, you're thinking, what in the world is this show about? Bitcoin is a new kind of money for the internet. It's a protocol that's used similar to the email protocol. It's used for email. Well, the Bitcoin protocol is used for sending bitcoins, digital money, through the internet. In fact, Bitcoin is to money what email is to letters, I think. This itself is a revolution. You can send money through the internet with very tiny fees. Now, this could enable all kinds of things, including micropayments. Imagine trying to send someone a penny right now. How much does it cost to send someone a penny? You know, using either a postage stamp or a credit card transaction fee or wire transfer fee, you can't really do it. With Bitcoins, you can, because the fees are so tiny. That's the number one exciting thing about Bitcoin. Number two, Bitcoin could turn out to be the most important invention known to man, greater than the internet and the cell phone. And when you understand all the other exciting features about Bitcoin, you'll realize that this is not hyperbole. This is not some wild claim. If you thought the internet was cool, wait till you see when Bitcoin is adopted as widely as the internet is. Number three, we are at the beginning stages of widespread adoption of Bitcoin. In 2013, Bitcoin was at a point like where personal computers were in 1979 with the Radio Shack TRS-80 models, or where Microsoft itself was back in 1990. Or where the internet was back when Windows 95 came out in 1995. Bitcoin right now is where eBay was in 97, or where Google was in 99, or where Facebook was in 2004, or where Twitter was in 2006. So give Bitcoin 5 or 10 more years to expand and explode like these other fantastic technologies, and you will agree with me that point number two, Bitcoin could turn out to be the most important invention known to man. Number four, Bitcoin is available to every person on Earth. With widespread adoption among people and businesses, we'd have the ability to buy things in any country without exchanging currencies. You wouldn't have to declare how much money you're transporting across borders when you travel to those countries, and you'd have no fear of carrying large amounts of cash with you. Number five, Bitcoin means fewer risks for merchants because Bitcoin transactions, they're secure, but they're also not reversible. This protects merchants from losses caused by fraud or fraudulent chargebacks. Merchants can easily expand to new markets where either credit cards are not available or fraud rates are unacceptably high. Now, the net result of all this is that there would be lower fees, larger markets, and fewer administrative costs from the merchant's perspective. Now, number six, from the customer's perspective, it's impossible for a merchant to force unwanted or unnoticed charges on you, as can happen with credit cards, and the transaction does not contain your sensitive personal information. You can buy stuff with Bitcoin like you can buy it with cash. You don't need to tell them your email address. You don't need to tell them your home address. You don't need to give them your bank account number or your credit card number. You just need to send them the cash, the Bitcoins that you're spending for their product or service. Number 7, Bitcoin payments can be made without personal information tied to the transaction. This is similar to 6, but imagine this. You can post a picture of your Bitcoin address anywhere, and people can send you Bitcoins directly without knowing who you are, anything about you. Just the fact that you have the picture there that they can access, they can transfer money to your Bitcoin account. Number 8, Bitcoin eliminates the need for a third party like a bank or Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Western Union, or wire transfers, anything like that. Bitcoin is a completely decentralized monetary system. Everyone on the Bitcoin network processes transactions for everyone else. You can see the entire history of all transactions made from the beginning of Bitcoin to the present, but yet it's still virtually anonymous. Number 9, Bitcoin stops governments from being able to create money to pay for stupid stuff. Well, most countries have money that they can create when they want to. Bitcoin cannot be created on demand like this. Eventually, there'll be a limit. In other words, in the year 2140, there'll be a limit reached of 21 million Bitcoins. Right now, we're at about between 12 and 13 million Bitcoins in existence. These get created by people mining, processing the transaction chain, mining it's called. When they process the transaction chain successfully, they get some new Bitcoins in their account. Eventually, those new Bitcoins added will cease, but people that help process the transaction chain, the blockchain, they'll get fees from people interested in helping secure the network, helping provide growth for the network. In other words, every transaction might have a tiny fee associated with it, and the computers that are used to process that blockchain would receive those fees. Number 10, Bitcoin is a currency that doesn't lose value over time like sovereign currencies. If you print more sovereign currencies, then every currency unit already in existence loses some amount of value. Imagine the dollar in 1905, for example, how much that could buy you. How much can a dollar buy you in comparison today? Whereas Bitcoins, being limited, they'll actually somewhat increase in value over time. In fact, according to Ron Paul, if people start using Bitcoins en masse, it'll go down in history as the destroyer of the dollar. Now, on upcoming shows, I'll talk about whether the dollar being destroyed is a good or bad thing, but let's leave it to a good thing at this point, that Bitcoin is a revolution. Number 11, Bitcoin could vastly reduce the overhead that financial institutions impose upon our monetary transactions. Even lending, stocks, contracts. Bitcoin could provide the backbone for monetary prediction markets to spring up, and it could be used to authenticate online voting even. Bitcoin has a number of uses beyond just money. Bitcoin has uses in all aspects of monetary transactions. Bitcoin is a revolution. As I'm talking to you, the value of a millibitcoin, that's a thousandth of a bitcoin, is equal to about $1. One millibitcoin equals about a dollar. Now, the UK hedge fund manager Hugh Hendry, he's the founder of Electica Asset Management, he thinks the value of Bitcoin from here could go up another thousandfold as more and more people get into the Bitcoin network. Those are the 12 most exciting features I can think of right now about Bitcoin. On upcoming shows, I'll keep elaborating on these, and I'll talk to you about more exciting things as we get details with them. Are you convinced yet that Bitcoin is something you want to get interested in? Do you want to learn more? The best way to learn about Bitcoin is by doing. Get some skin in the game. Go get $10 worth of Bitcoin. Go get 10 millibitcoins. Here's the quick start guide to do it. Go to a website called Coinbase.com and link up your bank account to them. I would recommend doing it in the way where they deposit some money into your account, not the way that You give them your bank account password, by the way. It takes a couple of days. They'll deposit. They'll make two deposits into your bank account of some small transaction, say between a penny and 50 cents or so. Two different transactions into your bank account. Once those transactions have been completed, go back to the Coinbase.com website, enter the amounts of those two transactions, and then that will verify that they got the money into the right place. Now, first of all, I'm not affiliated with Coinbase.com. There are other ways to acquire Bitcoins. From what I've seen so far, Coinbase.com is the easiest. Now, once you get your account approved at Coinbase.com, you can transfer money into it to buy some fractions of a Bitcoin, some millibitcoins, if you will. Don't put any more money in than you are comfortable in completely losing, all right? Because yet you don't yet understand all the security impacts of holding a Bitcoin wallet. You don't understand the needs to protect your password and everything. So put $10 in. You can afford to learn about Bitcoin by losing $10 and consider it part of your variable portfolio. Once you've bought Bitcoins there, what can you do with them? Well, you can go out to a website called gift.com, and that's spelled G-Y-F-T. They sell gift cards. And guess what kind of money you can spend buying gift cards there? Well, you can use regular money, but you can also use Bitcoins to buy gift cards. You can buy an Amazon gift card for $10 using that. This will give you an idea of how to buy and spend Bitcoins. If you don't spend them, well, just sit and watch your balance of Bitcoins appreciate relative to the dollar. Like I said, right now, one millibitcoin is equal to about a dollar. And Hugh Hendry thinks that they could go up another thousandfold. So it's not impossible to think that your $10 could appreciate into, what is that, $100,000, $10,000? That's quite an appreciation. If you succeed in all of this, in acquiring Bitcoin and learning about Bitcoin, I ask you to go to my website, madmoneymachine.com, and click on the Bitcoin button on the right to support this show by sending Bitcoins to my Bitcoin address. I don't have advertisers. I don't have sponsors. I'm not affiliated with anyone. I'm just trying to educate you about Bitcoin. Support this effort and help spread the word to other people. Spreading the word will mean your Bitcoins are much more valuable as more and more people get into the network. It's the network effect. It's like, was Facebook valuable when there were 100 people on it? Was Facebook valuable when there were 1 million people on it? As I understand it, Facebook has something like 1 billion accounts now. What'll happen when Bitcoin has 1 billion users? Well, in future episodes, I will talk about how to handle larger amounts than the amount that you're able to lose, $10, say. I'll talk to you about how to handle that more securely and what you need to do beyond Coinbase and things that you need to protect larger amounts of money. Let's get into some frequently asked questions about Bitcoin. I was asking a friend the other day, have you ever heard about Bitcoin? He said, oh, yeah, that's the stuff, that's the online money that's used for buying illegal stuff like drugs. Isn't that something? What people think about Bitcoin. You know, there's a whole lot more illegal stuff being bought with dollars and euros than there are with Bitcoins, even in proportion. Bitcoin is like money. It can be used to buy anything that someone's willing to sell. So no, Bitcoin is not just for buying illegal things. Bitcoin is buying legal things easily and without transaction fees and without third party involved. Bitcoin is a revolution. Why do Bitcoins have value? If they're just digital bits on a computer, why do they have value? Now, I get some of these FAQ answers from bitcoin.org, the FAQ section out there. And here's what they say. Why do Bitcoins have value? Bitcoins have value because they are useful as a form of money. They have value because they're useful. Bitcoin has the characteristics of money, like durability, portability, fungibility, scarcity, divisibility, and recognizability. It has these characteristics based upon the properties of mathematics, rather than relying on physical properties like gold or silver do, or trust in central authorities, like a sovereign currency. In short, Bitcoin is backed by mathematics, and with these attributes, all that is required for a form of money to hold value is trust and adoption. In the case of Bitcoin, this can be measured by its growing base of users, merchants, and startups. As with all currency, Bitcoin's value comes only and directly from people willing to accept them as payment. Is Bitcoin a Ponzi scheme? That's a common question that people ask when you ask them, do you know about Bitcoin? Well, a Ponzi scheme is a fraudulent investment operation that pays returns to its investors from their own money. Or the money paid by subsequent investors, instead of from profit earned by the individuals running the business. Ponzi schemes are designed to collapse at the expense of the last investors when there's not enough new participants. Bitcoin is a free software project with no central authority. Consequently, no one is in a position to make fraudulent representations about investment returns. Like other major currencies, such as gold, U.S. dollar, euro, yen, etc., there's no guaranteed purchasing power, and the exchange rate floats freely. This does lead to volatility, where owners of bitcoins can unpredictably make or lose money. Beyond speculation, Bitcoin is also a payment system with useful and competitive attributes that are being used by thousands of users and businesses. Who controls Bitcoin? That kind of answered it, but nobody owns the Bitcoin network, much like no one owns the technology behind email. Bitcoin is controlled by all Bitcoin users around the world. And while developers are improving the software, they can't force a change in the Bitcoin protocol because all users are free to choose what software and version they use. In order to stay compatible with each other, all users need to use software complying with the same rules. Bitcoin can only work correctly with a complete consensus among all users. Therefore, all users and developers have a strong incentive to protect this consensus. Another frequently asked question was, how do I get Bitcoins then? I talked about one way, going to Coinbase. One way is as a payment for goods and services. So you could sell something, you could sell a product, you could sell a service, and ask to be paid in Bitcoins. You could purchase Bitcoins at an exchange. Coinbase is one of them. Or you could just simply meet someone in person that has Bitcoins, give them cash, and they give you Bitcoins using your cell phone. Or you could earn Bitcoins through competitive mining. This is the advanced topic. It's much more difficult to do that one. And we'll talk about that one in subsequent episodes. What can you buy with Bitcoin? There are more and more merchants coming online that are accepting Bitcoin. Right now, there's no gargantuan-sized merchants that I know of. Amazon doesn't yet accept Bitcoin. eBay doesn't yet accept Bitcoin, for example. But Gift.com allows you to buy Amazon gift cards using Bitcoin. So we're almost there. Now, won't the finite number of Bitcoins be a limitation? If there's only 21 million Bitcoins ever generated, and you say a billion people might take it up someday, that's less than one Bitcoin per person, right? Well, Bitcoin is unique in that only 21 million Bitcoins will ever be created. However, this will never be a limitation because Bitcoins can be divided down to 8 decimal places or 0.000000001 Bitcoins. And potentially even smaller units if that's ever required in the future. Now, as the average transaction size decreases, transactions can be denominated in subunits of a Bitcoin, such as millibitcoins, or MBTC. The last frequently asked question I'll get in today is the question of, how does Bitcoin work? And Bitcoin.org says, from a user perspective, Bitcoin's nothing more than a mobile app or computer program that provides a personal Bitcoin wallet and allows a user to send and receive Bitcoins with them. That's how Bitcoin works for most users. Behind the scenes, though, the Bitcoin network is sharing a public ledger called the blockchain. This ledger contains every transaction ever processed, allowing a user's computer to verify the validity of each transaction. The authenticity of each transaction is protected by digital signatures corresponding to the sending address, allowing all users to have full control over sending Bitcoins from their own Bitcoin address. In addition, anyone can process transactions using the computing power of specialized hardware and earn a reward in Bitcoins for this service. This is often called mining. Well, that's just a little taste of the excitement about Bitcoin. I hope you'll get excited. I hope you'll get interested. I hope you'll get invested. I hope you'll go get yourself a few little Bitcoins. In the meantime, this is Paul Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes Bitcoin to make a mad money machine. Please go out to my website, madmoneymachine.com, and click on the Bitcoin logo there off the right-hand side. And if you would, please donate to the show to help support me getting the word out to everyone else like you who didn't know about Bitcoin. Pass the show along to a friend. You can find me at twitter.com/madmoneymachine and facebook.com/madmoneymachine. Email me, bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com. Thanks for listening, and good luck. See you next time on the Mad Money Machine Bitcoin Show.